And everybody said, praise the Lord. Great to be in Fire Conference this year. And my, wasn't those kids awesome a while ago? I felt the presence of the Lord. And I believe it just setting the stage for a wonderful year. And God bless you for coming. I appreciate the vision of this board. Every board member that's taken part, Brother Ralston, Brother Webb, Brother Holt, Brother Sanders, and all those who work behind the scenes to give us a conference like this. And I know you young folks appreciate it as well. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you on such a delicate subject, according to social media. And I am speaking, in my opinion, to the greatest group of young people that I know. And I have a lot of confidence in you. And I'm preaching for you, not against you. Praise God. And so I'd like to say I appreciate my wife and my kids and my church for being here. And for the sake of time, I've got to just jump right into it and see what the Lord wants to say to us. We'll take our text from Psalms chapter 88, verse number 15. Just one little phrase I want to borrow out of this. Psalms chapter 88, verse number 15. The Bible says, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I want you to notice this phrase, I am distracted. I am distracted. I'd like to just talk to you just for a few moments on weapons of mass distraction. Weapons of mass distraction. We would all agree that we're living in a distracted generation. It's not just social media that is distracting us. I believe it's technology in general. We're distracted while we're driving. We're distracted while we're eating. We're distracted while we're in church. We're distracted while we're trying to hold a conversation. We're distracted while we're playing ball. How many of you guys have been talking to a girl and her phone's blowing up? And you think, is she talking to me or is she talking to another girl? Or another, not another girl, or another boy? Technology has changed the way we communicate. Technology has changed the way we do things. Our children are growing up at a time when all of their moments are documented. Their births, their first steps, their first day of kindergarten, elementary school days have all been captured and shared in ways that our parents never would have imagined. Privacy has been dramatically redefined by social media. Now, unless you live on a different planet, you really don't have a choice whether to engage in a social media-enriched world. Like it or not, it's everywhere. It's like air. It's not going away. You can't get away from it. You can preach against it. You can ban it. You can choose not to have it, but it's not going away. When one thing goes out, something else comes in. How many remembers Ringo and Bebo? And now it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Vine, Tumblr, Skype. The list goes on and on and on. It kind of reminds me of that little boy who was talking to his girlfriend and said, man, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and Skype. She said, you need a life. He said, I'm not on that one. Can you send me the app? And really, that describes a lot of our young folks today. While we are so connected to social media, we are disconnected from real life. We've become so digital that we've forgotten how to be real. Kids nowadays are missing out on life. So I wanted to know what your opinion of social media was. And we've got a lot of different opinions. I dare say I could give the microphone to 100 people and I'd probably get 100 different opinions about what your stance is on social media. So I wanted to know what this generation thought about it. And this is what you said about social media.
Hi, my name is Kayla, and I'm 20 years old. I do have a Facebook account as well as an Instagram. When Brother Douglas Meadows asked me to do this, and he was wanting my opinion on social media as a whole, I immediately went to being in service, listening to preachers want to slam it, you know, tell you no, it's of the devil. But as I begin to think about it, as many great things, it has either its pros or cons, depending on how you use it. When used wisely, you can use it to keep in touch with family or friends who live distantly, and in some cases, missionaries on the field. When used not so wisely, I've seen it as a tool to start rumors. People use it as a click. I've seen reputations completely ruined by these different forms of social media. It can be used for the good or for the bad. It's a huge time waster if you want to sit at home and stay on it, because it is, in some cases, addicting. And a habit former to just get on there and flip through it.
My name is Elijah Toro. I'm 17 years old, and Brother Meadow asked me to give my opinion on social networking as a whole. And as far as social networking, I stand against it. And there are reasons for that. And you might say because I'm a preacher or, you know, for any other reason that, you know, preachers bash anything that lives and breathes. But I do believe in holiness, not hardness. And therefore, if you have one, I'm not going to bash you. I love you. But, you know, there are pros and cons to that. And, you know, some pros could be, you know, talking to family in Mexico or just things like that, communication purposes, or if you have a business or something like that. But as far as cons, which is what it's mostly used for, is as far as bashing people, gossiping, and then as far as, you know, telling which preacher fell over here and which preacher fell there, and, you know, but as far as it doesn't promote unity, and that's my opinion on social media. Again, I stand against it.
Hello, my name's Autumn, and they asked me what I feel on social networking. And I'm in the middle of the road. I do see where it can be a tool, but it can also be a trap. And I think oftentimes young people get into it due to their friends' pressure and what's going on in the world when they really don't realize what they're going into. Or when they start getting addicted or it becomes a stumbling block and their spiritual life begins to digress, I think that's when we as young people need to realize and stop what the devil's using.
Hi, my name is Grant Ralston, and Brother Douglas asked me to give my opinion on social networking. My opinion is that there is nothing inherently wrong with social networking. It's just that it can be used to do bad things. The thing about it is it's just there's so many dangerous pedophiles and perverts lurking around seeking their prey. I think the only way that you should have social networking is if you are if you just use it carefully, if you are Holy Ghost filled, and if you just seek God and godly counsel.
Hi, my name's Sarah Gentry, and Brother Douglas Meadow asked me to tell y'all my opinion on social networking. I'm kind of undecided. I do have a Twitter account myself. I use it for strictly business. But I think it could be used for a good purpose, too. I do know a preacher's wife that uses it for bus ministry, and she gets a lot of kids that way. So I think it could be used both ways. The advantage is you can lead a lot of people to church like that, but there's disadvantages, like there's a lot more gossip, a lot more drama, a lot more church problems, and a lot more problems between young people that you really don't have to have. So that's kind of my opinion.
Hi, my name is James Miles, and they asked me to give my opinion on social media. I have a Facebook, I have a Twitter, an Instagram, all that jazz. I think personally that social media is social networking is a great thing. It's great. It's a great tool for sharing memories, sharing, you know, if you have some kind of sage advice that you think would be helpful to others. It's a great place to put something out there and allow others to enjoy it. It's also a good tool for, say, missionaries on the field or things like that. It has its negative points. It can be used for gossip and tearing people down. And there are every social networking site has its share of predators. But in my opinion, the benefits of social networking far outweigh the cons. If you use it wisely, if you're careful, and if you watch, you know, say on Twitter, if you're careful who your followers are and what you say and how you portray yourself, social networking is one of the greatest tools in the modern day.
So as you can see, there's a lot of different opinions on social networking and social media as a whole. And let me just say this before I go any further. I don't have Facebook. I don't have Twitter. I don't have Instagram. I'm preaching from a neutral standpoint. So first of all, before we can make a decision about whether it's something to allow into our lives, we first need to know what it is. And so the definition of social media is simply this: a form of electronic communication through which users create online communities to share information, ideas, personal messages, and other content. That's it. That's what social media is. It's electronic communication. A lot of different avenues of social media, but as of right now, studies have shown that Facebook is the most popular social get-together place on the internet. In October in 2012, Facebook announced that its number of active users, which is someone who logs in at least once a month, has passed, listen, the 1 billion mark. Facebook has over 600 million mobile users worldwide. Just to compare, at the time they took that stat, in October of 2012, the United States population was an estimated of 314 million. Facebook has more mobile users than the United States have people. If they had their own country, it would be the third largest nation in the world. Of the 6.8 billion human beings on this earth, 1 in 7 has a Facebook account. Now, to me, that's pretty staggering statistic. Why is that? Why does so many people connect with social media? Because they want friends. We live in a generation that wants to feel connected. The average Facebook user has about 150 friends. Some have hundreds of friends. I even read as many as 30,000 friends on Facebook, because we are designed as human beings for social connection. Relationships, friendships are vital to our happiness. It is God's plan for us to have friends. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. He did not create us to be loners. He did not create us to isolate ourselves. It is a good thing for you to develop friendships and relationships. But my question is social media really helping us develop true friendships? During the summer of 2008, a New York Times writer decided to explore the brave new world of social media. And so he set up an account. He dived in. He opened up a Facebook account. He added friends, people he had known over the years, relatives, friends of friends. And he was so astonished to discover that just in a few days, he had 700 online friends. He had to admit that it was a rush. He had a new outlook on life. He felt like that now he's important. But he wondered how Facebook friends translated into traditional friendships. So he put it to the test, and he planned a Facebook party. He invited all 700 friends to a local meeting place. People who could who was coming, they could respond and give their status on whether they was attending or not attending. And he watched the response. 15 said they would be there. 60 gave him a solid maybe. 20 people said, well, we might come, we might not come. So he crunched the numbers, put it together, and he said, I can realistically count on 20 to 30 of these 700 Facebook friends to show up at this party. So he walked into the local gathering place that night, and he waited, and he kept on waiting. And finally, one lady showed up who was a friend of a friend. And they made small talk, and she finally left. And the man sat by himself until midnight, wondering, where's those 700 friends on Facebook? Where's my Facebook faithful at? And you know what he wrote? He wrote this: 700 friends, and I'm still alone. And I thought that summarizes what so many of this generation is feeling today. We've invented so many ways to connect with others, yet we're feeling more disconnected than we've ever felt. Our world is filled with huge crowds of isolated people. Today's average American may meet more people in 1 year than his great-grandfather met in a lifetime. So I would ask the question, why is this generation more lonely than our great-grandfather was? Why are we so isolated? Why do we have so many young folks depressed? Why do we have so many young folks suicidal? You know why? Because there's a difference in being alone than being lonely. Hardly anybody's alone nowadays. We move among crowds almost continually. But being near people is not the same as connecting with people. Social media has replaced the face-to-face conversations. Now listen, I know Facebook and Twitter and these other sites is what we refer to a lot when we talk about social media, but the truth is, texting was the platform for social media. One writer said that texting is the king of social media and Facebook is the queen of social media. So I get kind of humored at those who say, well, if you're on a social network site, that it's a sin and that it's wrong, when really they're sending out text and they're sending pictures and they're in group text. So if you're going to say that social media is a sin and you shouldn't be on it, you need to say that we can't no longer text anymore. The average teenager sends 3,413 text messages per month. That's a lot of text. 35 to 44-year-olds send an average of 709 text messages per month. One lady texted her husband several times over and over again. Couldn't get no response. Finally, she texted him and said, "What's wrong? Cat got your thumb?" How many of you wanted to ask a few of your friends that question? But while we send more texts than we've ever sent, and while we're more connected to social media sites, we're still a lonely generation. You know why? Because the glow of a screen will never replace the glow of a face. Never. I think a real person-to-person conversation gets really intruded upon by these devices that kids cannot let go of. Lisa, a 17-year-old high school junior, writes this: "I come home from school, go online and talk for 2 hours on the web, but then I still have no real friends." You'd be surprised at the teenagers and the young folks that are sitting in this crowd who has a social media account of hundreds, maybe even thousands of friends, and they still feel lonely. Surrounded by all these people, but they still feel isolated. They feel like nobody loved them. There's a reason that so many people are turning to online relationships and friendships through social media. Because when we're online, we don't have to be real. We can hide behind our shortcomings. We can hide behind our defects, our insecurities. Just like the New York Magazine ran a cartoon that had this dog sitting in a chair and a paw on the computer. And he turns to the other dog and he says, "On the internet, nobody knows you're a dog." Social media cannot capture the heart and the soul of a human being. It's when we sit together, we laugh together, we have face-to-face contact together, we look into each other's eyes. That is when we truly connect. Social media is replacing authentic relationships. We need friends that can hug our necks, that can wipe our tears, that can squeeze our hands, that can pray with us, that can pray for us. You know what? The way I feel, we need less Facebook and more FaceTime. And I'm not talking about the app that you have on your iPhone. I'm talking about old school, face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball connection. And we need closeness, and you can't get that on a cell phone. Praise God. We need to get back to face-to-face conversations, looking into each other's eyes and having that authentic relationship. Did you know that the average user spends more than 26 minutes a day on Facebook alone? What are they doing on Facebook? 31% of them update their status at least once per day. 37% comments on someone else's Facebook status. 29% comments on a picture at least once a day. 44% like something at least once per day. You know what that tells me? They're doing a whole lot of nothing on Facebook. One of the biggest problems that we have, amen, of social media is the fact that it is a total waste of time. It is a time waster. It causes people to neglect prayer time, devotion time, Bible reading time. They put their relationship with God on the back burner. And can I say, I'm not up here calling social media a sin, but I will say that anything that stands between your relationship with God, your devotion time, your relationship with God, your prayer time, is detrimental in your spiritual life. Listen, even a national championship college basketball coach said this about his players using social media. Now I quote, "Every hour, it's like taking a little bit of poison. It poisons their minds." He said, "I'm trying to get my players to pay more attention to important things. We're losing our ability to communicate, especially in our young people." He said this. He said, "I'm not against certain facets of social media, but it is a total waste of time." You know what I take out of those comments? It's a distraction. That's what he's saying. He even banned, listen, he banned his players from tweeting and said if it was up to him, he wouldn't let them use any forms of social media. That's from a college basketball coach. And we get mad at our youth pastor and our pastors for getting up and saying it's a distraction. Be careful with it. And bless God, they better sure not tell me to get off of it. Funny to me that when the world says there's danger in it, we stand up and applaud them. When the preacher says there's danger in it, we think he's old-fashioned. The world is now saying what the preachers have been saying for years. It's a distraction. It's a distraction to marriages. It's a distraction to friendships. It's a distraction to churches. It's a distraction to young people. It's a distraction to preachers. And if the world is noticing the distraction that it's causing, how much more should we as a church stand up and say, listen, wait a minute. There's a huge distraction coming upon this generation with social media. You want to know the truth about social media? It's very, very, very dangerous. There are bullies on social media. Megyn Kelly on Fox News said this, and I quote, "Social media has upped the ante on violence because of the threats. Gone are the days when a child's home is a refuge from playground or neighborhood bullies. The internet is the new playground. Social media is the new playground. Kids are turning to cyberspace using a new method of bullying called cyberbullying. Cyberbullying is willful and repeated harm via harassing, humiliating, or threatening text or images inflicted through the internet, interactive technology, or mobile phones. 43% of our teenagers age 13 to 17 report that they have experienced some sort of cyberbullying in the past year. Now, how does this work? There's a few different, I can't cover them all, but there's four different areas through cyberbullying. I just want to read to you. Number one, gossip. Now, these are the world statistics, not mine, okay? Gossip. Anybody ever heard that preached from the pulpit? Posting or sending cruel gossip to damage a person's reputation and relationships with friends, family, and acquaintances. There's infringement. Breaking into someone's email or other online accounts, sending messages that will cause embarrassment or damage to the person's reputation. There's harassment, repeatedly posting or sending offensive, rude, and insulting messages. There's cyber stalking, posting or sending unwanted, intimidating messages, which may include threats. Can I tell you, people are real tough behind a screen, hundreds of miles away from you. Hey, we've always had a problem with bullies. Ever since I've grown up, we had a problem with bullies, even when I was in school. But at least they'd meet you face to face. At least you had the opportunity to... Now we have a bunch of limp-wristed... you know, sitting behind a computer screen and terrorizing innocent victims. Listen... Pediatricians are now on the lookout for Facebook depression because of the misuse of social media. We have teenagers who are timid, shy, depressed. Some even commit suicide because of this Facebook depression. 12-year-old Rebecca Sedwick from Florida was the victim of cyberbullying. I quote, several students bullied Rebecca on different occasions through name-calling, intimidation, threats to beat her up, and at least one actual physical fight. As many as 15 girls terrorized Sedwick for several months with messages such as, you're ugly, you should die, why don't you kill yourself? And she did just that. She went to an abandoned cement plant, climbed a tower, and jumped off. Did you know that the police arrested two of them girls and charged them with cyber bullying because they was harassing her? And this is the quote that they made. Detectives have determined that on September the 10th, 2013, Rebecca Sedwick committed suicide by jumping from a concrete silo tower to her death, and that the malicious harassment by the girls was a contributing factor to Rebecca's decision to commit suicide. We always think bullies of being boys, but now we have girls who are taking part through social media that is involved in this cyberbullying. Listen, it is literally killing kids in our generation. Not only are there bullies on social media, there are predators on social media. You should never, never, again, I say never share your personal information online. 93% of teen Facebook users share their real name. 92% of teen Facebook users share pictures of themselves. And may I add that when you post a picture, it is forever stored. Did you know that? You can delete it from your account. They have record of it. And in all reality, sometimes that's not a bad thing, because now I've read that it's easier to track down criminals and stuff. But then these young folks getting on there and posting some stupid pictures on there, it's forever stored in a vault somewhere. And 21% of teen Facebook users share their personal cell phone numbers. 25% of teen Facebook users share videos of themselves. 41% tell what city they live in. Every keystroke, every click of the mouse, every search, every photo uploaded is now tracked. Even if you delete your social media account, it's really not deleted. They own the rights to your social media account. You can get it off your phone, get it off your iPad, get it off your computer. They own that. And it's never deleted. And so it's never good for you to post your phone number, where you live, or where you're at on Facebook. Leaving a house, heading to Walmart. Who cares? No wonder it's so easy for a predator to track these young folks down. We are putting personal information. Listen, when you put personal info on social media accounts or the internet, for that matter, you're just asking for trouble. Hey, this happened in Oklahoma. The news article read, a man is behind bars accused of lewd acts with a child. He reportedly made contact with a 12-year-old girl on a social media site and tried to arrange to meet her while she was supposed to be at home alone. Police arrested this 28-year-old man after setting up a sting operation with the mother of the 12-year-old girl, who found lewd text between him and her daughter's phone. First of all, I would say, what in the world is a 12-year-old girl doing with a social media account? And then I would say, if they had one, how did this man contact her? You know how? She posted too many online things, too many personal things online. We often have this image of sexual predators lurking around school playgrounds or hiding behind bushes or scoping out their potential victims out in the woods somewhere. But the reality is, today sexual predators search for victims while hiding behind a computer screen. The secrecy of the internet provides the perfect camouflage for a seasoned predator to operate. Ernie Allen, president and CEO of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, said this: predators are hiding behind the internet to target kids, to entice kids online, and try to persuade them to meet them in the physical world. Listen, some folks and some young folks are asking for trouble with the photos they put of themselves on there. This is the most picture-taken generation I have ever saw in my life. Stand in front of a mirror with duck lips, taking pictures of themselves. When I was growing up, you know what we called that? Cocky. Conceited. Arrogant. Post perverted pictures. Provocative pictures. Selfies. Anybody ever heard of? I didn't know what a selfie was until I started studying this. Taking pictures of yourself, posting selfies, and you know what? You know what? Here's what really it's not humorous, but here's what is a lot of truth to it. Guys always get the blunt of the preaching for looking at the provocative pictures. Bless God, you shouldn't look, and no, you shouldn't. Bless God, these guys tell you keep your minds pure, and we should. But can I say, if the girls wouldn't post them, a lot of the guys wouldn't see them. These girls, they get aggravated. Oh, they're a bunch of perverts. They shouldn't look at the pictures. The way I believe it, the girl who posts the pics is just as guilty as the boy who looks at the pictures. Praise God. That's just the way I see it. You may disagree with me, but I think this little saying says it all. In the near future, little old ladies won't be able to knit, sew, or quilt, but they'll take awesome self-pics in the bathroom mirror. Can I give you some advice? Can I just give these young folks some advice? Don't find your spouse on social media. All right? They're not as pretty as they look. It's false advertisement, all right? They're putting their best on there. And for those who have developed that relationship and those young folks that's sitting here that you're dating and you're getting serious, and even to those who are married, keep the details of that relationship off of social media. The best sign of a healthy relationship is no sign of it on Facebook. Praise God. Social media, I've got to hurry. Social media is addicting. You've got to be careful as to how much time you spend on social media. I just came across a recent study that discovered cell phone addiction to rank with alcohol and drug addiction. You say, I don't agree with that, preacher. Well, watch one of your teenage friends walk out of the hotel room tonight for church and realize that they've left something. They'll stop the bus. They'll drive through ditches. They'll do U-turns in the highway to go back and get their Bible. I mean, their cell phone. School grades have gone down due to the fact that kids are staying up half the night on social media instead of getting a good night's sleep. Gone are the days where you're in bed by 9:30 and the lights are out and you're getting up tomorrow morning trying to get a good night's rest for school. Now we got teenagers sitting up in the dark by themselves behind a closed door on social media, and because of this cell phone addiction and social media addiction, we can't go to Sunday school without our cell phones, but we leave our Bibles at the house. Just saying. We check our Facebook status in church. We post, whatever y'all do. Post comments on your Facebook page during church. One lady wrote into Dear Abby and said, and you know Dear Abby, she's not probably the most spiritual person, but she said this. They was writing and asking, Dear Abby, is it ever appropriate to use your cell phone to update social media or send a text message during a church service, or is it still considered a rude act? Her response, it is still considered rude. In a house of worship, we are supposed to be thinking about more important things than our social schedule, our Facebook page, or who tweeted. I say, God bless you, dear Abby. I say amen to that. Praise God. Amen. Now, because we've replaced the Bible with phones, we've started posting things on Facebook and church and checking our blog. Listen, that is a major distraction to the house of God. The only reason we go to church should be to worship the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And listen, you know, you say, well, and let me tell you about that. You know, kids on social media at night by themselves, and I'll just throw this in here. If you're a parent and your child has social media, feel free to go through those social media accounts. And for that matter, read their text messages. You know, they say, what? What? I'm not going to let anybody read my these kids. Man, that's my privacy. That's my phone. Listen, I pay for it. It's my phone. All right. And so I heard of one guy whose daughter, nobody that we know, but one guy whose daughter who wanted to be on social media a lot in her bedroom and didn't want to let her mom and dad in on what she was doing, that little secret life she was living. Her dad got so frustrated, he took the door off the hinges. And for 6 months, he said, listen, you live in this house, you abide by my rules. And so, young folks, amen, you need to be thankful if you've got a mom and dad that say, give me your cell phone. Let me look through your Facebook account. We need some more active parents in social media. You got to understand that social media are parts of your life that God expects you to use the right way. If you're a Christian, you can't expect God to just let you act and say whatever you want to say on Facebook. God commands us to do everything for the glory of God. You will stand before God one day and give an account of your actions. Romans 14 and 12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We will stand before God and give an account for how we have used social media. You will give an account for your account. What would God think if he scrolled through your social media account? Well, you say, man, that's a nice little Christian saying, and you know, there's really not a lot of truth in that. It's extremely true. You will literally stand before God one day, amen, and give God an account, including how you use social media. And listen, I think social media is what we call a moral neutral in itself. It's not good or it's not bad. It's how we use it. We either make it a good thing or a bad thing. It's not the use, hear me, not the use of social media that's hurting us. It's the abuse of social media that's hurting us. Take a knife. Take a knife, for example. A knife in itself is not good or bad. It's just a knife. But it's how I use that knife that makes it good or bad. I can choose to use a knife to hurt somebody, or I can choose to use it to prepare food for folks. It's the same way with social media. I can use it for good, or I can use it for evil. And I've heard folks say, bless God, social media is a sin. I want to tell you something. Social media is no more of a sin than a knife is a sin. It's what you do with a knife that can be a sin. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Used to be that we would reveal what's in our heart through the tongue. Now we reveal it through the thumb. People think as long as they're typing it, they're liking it, it makes it okay. Let me tell you something. If it's something vulgar, if it's profane, if it's ungodly, and you hit the like button or you comment on it, you have just agreed with that. Listen. It may not be who you are, okay? That may not be the type of person you are. But when you tag it or when you like it, everybody lumps you in with that crowd. Let me ask you this question. When the post comes up that says this, whether you're black, white, short, fat, straight, or lesbian, I like how you are, and you're a girl, and you like that, or you post that, what am I supposed to think of you? What are we supposed to say? When you see, you have just put your approval on that. Holiness young folks quoting Katy Perry, Madonna, Justin Bieber, then shouting on our platforms, singing in our choirs. What are we? Sinners posted, went to such and such ball game tonight. Sinners posting, watched such and such R-rated movie tonight. Sinners posting, just got out of some ungodly concert. And then we've got Christians liking that. Come on, somebody. What are we supposed to think? Because on Sunday, they act like a saint, but get on their Facebook page and it says they ain't. All right? People live out through social media what is really in their heart. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What's on the inside will come out, whether it's through the tongue or the thumb. Who you are will be revealed by what you say, write, like, or post. Post bitter comments, post critical comments, slam the holiness movement, be critical of our preachers. You are revealing what is in your heart. Here's the way I feel about it. If you post it or like it, you might as well set it. A lot of these social media sites, they're passing fads. Facebook, they say by 2017 or 18 that Facebook will be off the picture. Something else will come in. I don't know. Right now, it is what it is, but they're passing fads. When one goes out, another come in. But adultery and lying and lust and fornication and gossip and backsliding is not passing fads. This is stuff we have dealt with for generations. And all of this negative, perverted, sensual junk that is being posted on social media is byproducts of the main issue. Matthew 15:18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. See if you recognize anything like this on Facebook. Evil thoughts, murders, maybe not physical, but killing reputations, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. He didn't say social media defiles a man. It's what we put on social media that defiles a man. Listen, technology's not the problem. I'm glad I live in this world of technology. It's convenient. I appreciate the advancement that we've had. But technology's not the problem. iPhones is not the problem. iPads is not the problem. And for the most part, social media is not the problem. The heart is the problem. If you get your heart right, your social media page will be right. Praise God. People spread bitterness on social media. They spread gossip on social media. They like to think on it. Then they stew on it. Then they dwell on it. And then like a volcano, it erupts. It begins to fester. It begins to boil. And then it explodes on social media. That's distracting to a young person. I said that is distracting to a young person. It kills their confidence in good men of God. No wonder so many young people turn out to be bitter against the church. No wonder so many young folks, they backslide and they leave the church they grew up in and they walk away from the way they was raised. Because all they hear and read about is everything that is negative with the church. All the problems, all the hypocrites, all the preachers that has upset them, everybody that's mistreated them, hardly anybody, amen, ever posts, man, I read the Bible through last year. My son got the Holy Ghost last year. The pastor really helped me when I was about to quit. Young folks, as I close, my question to you today is this. Why don't this generation turn that around? I understand. I'm not going to preach the cell phones out of your hands. I understand. I'm not going to preach and everybody's going to go delete their Facebook account. I understand that, okay? I'm okay with that. Praise God. So since it's here to stay, why don't we turn it around and use it for something positive? Since it's not going away, rather than argue and posting everything negative and getting into arguments over standards, getting into arguments over things that's not even essential to our salvation. Going on 2 and 3 day rants over things that don't matter to anything. Why don't you use it to glorify God? Post on there how good the church is. Post on there how awesome Jesus is. Post on there how glad you are to be Pentecostal. Post on there that I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. Post on there that you got a good pastor. Post on there that you go to a good church. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what you ought to dwell on. Not post by bitter backsliders. And really, really, social media has become an outlet for bitter backsliders to get on there and just to spew their venom against everything that's wrong with the church. Now listen, I understand there's a difference in you talking to a friend in confidence about some things that maybe you don't agree with. That's totally different than getting it on Facebook and in a fraction of a second, it's all across the movement, all across the world, and it destroys the confidence, amen, of our young folks. Let's talk about revival. Let's talk about an awesome altar service. Let's talk about how many got the Holy Ghost at youth camp. Let's talk about how God moved at PFYC. Let's talk about souls getting saved. Let's talk about miracles. Let's talk about divine healings. Let's talk about deliverance. Let's talk about, hey, the church ain't going down. We're going up. We're not going under. We're going over. Let's not destroy one another. Let's encourage one another. Praise God. Amen. Let's turn social media into something that is positive for the glory of God. How many can say amen? How many likes that? Praise God. If you like that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise today.